Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. The first hour, we're going to be talking to Heidi, the CEO at Anchor Community Care. Then we're going to follow that up with our friends from Hutchison Legal. Between 1 and 2 and between 2 and 3, we're going to hear all about Days for Girls. Terrific program, so we're in for 3 good hours. But first of all, welcome to Heidi. How are you, Heidi?
Thank you, Alan. Lovely to be back again speaking to you.
Good to have you back too. And we're going to talk mainly about fundraising today, because I know you've got a fundraiser on. Not sure who came up with this idea, but I think it's a fabulous idea. So, Heidi, do you want to tell us a little bit about it, please?
Sure. So we've got an end of financial year campaign fundraising at the moment on, and it gives people... it gives an opportunity to people to donate before the end of the financial year so they can count it in with their tax. Anything $2 and over is tax deductible. We're doing this campaign for a range of reasons, but I'm sure that your listeners would understand that the cost of living and just what's going on at the moment is really biting people very hard. Yep. And, you know, if the likes of yourself and myself and your listeners are feeling it, you can bet your bottom dollar that people who were struggling before are really struggling now. And our campaign highlights a lady called Rachel, not her real name, of course, who experienced some very severe family violence with her two daughters, which led them to flee the perpetrator of that violence. And unfortunately, like many women who flee violence in order to save themselves and their children, they enter into homelessness.
Heidi, I just wanted to say something there and just sort of emphasise it again, because some people think, oh, well, some of the homeless have, you know, it's you know, some bad choices. But with a lot of, particularly with these ladies, it's very often not, is it? It's circumstances way beyond their control.
Absolutely. I'd like to, you know, really highlight that one in every six people experiencing homelessness is a child under the age of 10 in Australia. Under 10 in Australia. Yeah. One in every six people that are experiencing homelessness are actually under 10. Yeah. One in every 10 children are teenagers, aged 10 to 17. So if you take those, you know, that's 33,000 teens across Australia that are homeless today. And in fact, in the 21-22 census, 39,300 young people between the ages of 15 and 24 presented alone, so without their parents, to a homelessness service.
Because some of those have had to take off because of the situation at home, isn't it? It's not that they've all of a sudden thought, oh, well, I think I'll try this.
No, this is not recalcitrant teenagers that decide they're going to leave home and, you know, et cetera. This is young people, as you say, who are fleeing the home for a variety of reasons, usually that they're, you know, subject to violence or abuse, sexual abuse, et cetera. And that they enter into homelessness. And I think, you know, when we look at the number of children and young people in homelessness, it really takes you aback, because what you know is that they're starting off their life in very difficult circumstances. You know, a lot of us on the radio here today and talking and your listeners would have started with a stable family, you know, an opportunity to go to school, an opportunity to do some of the things that they like doing during their childhood and teens. Many of these are not doing, they're not following those sorts of childhood trajectories.
And if there's not a circuit breaker, then it just perpetrates itself, doesn't it? It just keeps going.
That's right. So what we know is that we know from a very good Canadian study that 50% of all people that experience homelessness as adults had also experienced it as children. So what that says to us is that we didn't intervene early enough, and that children that are homeless in childhood may very well find themselves, homeless in adulthood.
And I suppose one of the problems too is that if they're homeless, and particularly if they're couch surfing or worse than that, just living out under bridges and all that, which does unfortunately happen, then they're not going to school either. So it impacts, so they're not going to get a decent job either, are they?
No, that's right. The impacts just feel like they just keep layering upon layering, and it's absolutely no fault of theirs. And as we in our campaign, we talk about Rachel, that Rachel and her children had to flee, and it took some years for them to find stable accommodation and for the girls to get back on their feet and to start going to school again and start following some of those kind of, what you would call sort of normal, teenage year, milestones, etc. And I think it's a good time to mention that we, over the last 6 to 9 months, we've developed a new program that we're offering at our out of our Lilydale office to people who are homeless, in fact, children that are in homelessness. One of the things when I came to Anchor 9 years ago that I was really concerned about is the silence of children in homelessness. Mm. So I felt that even though, it's not that nobody cares and so forth, that's not the thing, but homelessness and the homelessness services are very focused on adults because they're very focused on, getting a house, getting a tenure, getting a tenancy. And so children are often just left behind and left silent. And since we've started this program, it's called Meet Leanne, in our, out of our Lilydale office, we've offered it to all the families that we see in homelessness, and there are many, and we've had reports back that children for the very first time are saying to us, no one has ever asked me how I feel. No one's ever asked how sad. And what they say, quite rightly, is that I don't want to talk about it with mum or dad because I don't want to make them sad and I don't want them to make them feel guilty.
Yep.
And so they often remain silent. But in fact, they're very sad, they're very angry, they're very disturbed with their experience. And so this new program that we've got offering out of Lilydale that is philanthropically funded is changing the lives of some of those kids who are being listened to and validated, which is really important.
Heidi, I've got to take a quick break.
Sure.
And we'll be back with more. Tony, is there any difference between homelessness in, say, the Yarra Valley as opposed in the city, where people sort of living in the major the streets and, you know, around the city?
Yeah, there most certainly is, and I really wanted to highlight it to your listeners that it's much more hidden in the Yarra Ranges and you know, areas like it. So there actually are many places to sleep rough where no one sees you, in a lot of the national parks and places like that. We know that in the Yarra Ranges there's quite a lot of people living in caravans. And, you know, a couple of years ago we had some big floods up there at Warburton, and a lot of people lost their caravans. Mm-hmm. And then they had nowhere to, you know, they actually had nowhere else to go. So, you know, a lot of people are living, you know, they might be sort of sleeping in people's lounge rooms, you know, a mum and a couple of kids kind of sleeping in someone's lounge room, might be, you know, her mother or whatever, but, you know, very cramped quarters. So, you know, And a lot of people sleep in their cars. They avoid being seen. I mean, I think that in the city, what we see is a lot of street homelessness, where almost people do want to be seen because they're often begging for money and things like that. You won't see that out in the Yarra Ranges or, you know, indeed the suburbs. You just won't see it like that. So it's really hard to see. And if you can't see, then you don't necessarily know that it's happening. We know because we do a joint project with the Yarra Ranges Council. It's called the Rough Sleeping Project. They call us out when they find people sleeping in, you know, either on their Crown lands or on, you know, in national parks, and they actually get us to go out and engage with people. And that's actually been really, really quite successful, because we've been, you know, assisting people to move into accommodation and so forth. And sometimes they, you know, they feel that they do want to hide and they don't want people to see them, etc. But it's quite you know, as I say, people live in caravans, they're often living in people's front rooms, and you know, at any moment that can come to an end. And that's when we see them. They come into Anchor and they go, I was living in a friend's caravan but it was leaking, and you know, winter, who wants to live in a caravan? Yeah. And I think this is what this appeal is really about, is really about people, you know, thinking about the plight of others that are going to be pretty cold this winter. You know, it's pretty, there's a lot of people that are probably keeping their heating off for periods of time during the day. And then certainly if you're in your car, I don't know how you're keeping warm. And I was just reflecting when you were talking about the weather, and I thought, yep, we're really in winter, aren't we?
Well, we certainly. And I mean, some of them tell me that some of the older people in particular and some of the homeless wind up in the shopping plazas and all that because it's warm there during the day.
Yeah, that's right. And libraries and things like that. You know, people certainly take shelter in places like that. I'm glad that you've mentioned the sort of older people. What I think is happening in the Yarra Ranges and probably the Dandenong Ranges, so that whole kind of outer east area, is there's been a lot of older people who have lived in these areas for a really long time and have a really tight community. And often they've been renting for many, many years, and they're now finding they're priced out. And particularly sort of in the Dandenong Ranges, you know, people are having, like, are faced with, they're not actually able to pay the rent. Mm. And so this whole, you know, choosing to age in place and age with your community and with your safety and your community supports is really being very challenging. And we're seeing a lot of people come in saying, can you please help me, because I really want to stay where I am, in the area I am, but the landlord's selling the house, or, you know, I can't afford the rent anymore. You know, that sort of thing. So I think that's at one end of the scale, as we talk about, you know, that end of the scale, and then we talk about children, which, you know, the impacts for them are, you know, their school is often very disjointed. They may be have had a really bad night where they haven't slept, and then they think, I really don't want to go to school, you know, I just can't face it or whatever, or there's no lunch money or, you know, whatever. So there's often
and
lots
no
of
excursion
kids
money
don't
and that's
go.
That's where the
no
kids feel bad.
No excursion money and, you know, no school camps, no, you know, and most schools now, they do so much online. So, you know, kids often have to have laptops or you know, iPads or whatever. So, you know, this campaign allows us to build up a bit of a war chest, because what we really like to do is when people come in and they say, look, I can't pay my heating bill, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, or, you know, I can't pay my rent this week or whatever. It gives us a bit of a war chest to say, right, here we go. We'll transfer that money right now, so that, you know, because the thing we really don't want is for people to have absolutely nowhere to go. So, you know, so this war chest allows us, you know, hotel nights. It allows us, you know, obviously blankets and things like that. But, it, you know, allows us to buy things for people without having to ask the government, because I think that then we get tied up in knots a bit. And this allows us to do so many things for people that are just off the cuff and they need straight away.
And I guess quickly. And that's part of that is the essence, isn't it?
That's right. You know, people don't have time to wait for things to happen. So, you know, we've done a lot of from this war chest that we've been building up and we're raising money for now. We do a lot of you know, beginning of the year assistance to families to get kids ready for school again. As I say, we often get people in winter, you know, sort of needing money for heating. You know, we might certainly get. You know, lots of women and children coming in who are fleeing violence. They actually, you know, may have been sleeping in their car and then it's just got too cold and they've come in, and so we'll put them up in a hotel for a few nights and then move them into some more medium accommodation. But, you know, I think what we know about all the people, and I see a lot of our people once a year at our Christmas party we put on, you know, I just talk to people who have been through this experience, and the thing they say to me is they really feel really warm and comforted by the fact that other community members would donate to help them. They really appreciate the help.
And the other thing too, and you touched on it very briefly, when you're talking about starting the new school year, like if a child can't, I know a lot of schools loan computer laptops while the kids are at school during the day, but if they can't go home at night and follow up, they're just falling behind all the time, aren't they?
That's right. And I think what we see of kids that have had homelessness experiences is they do drop out of school much earlier. So they're starting to drop out by about 14 because it's just all become too much. You know, they're trying to keep up with it all and trying to have quiet places to study and, as you say, laptops and things like that. And those precious years don't come around again.
No. As we found out with COVID.
Exactly.
I'm just going to take a quick break. Heidi, we'll be back with more.
I don't believe it. Don't touch me. Hey, Ray. Hey, Sugar. Tell them who we are.
Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers. And we're loved everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty and we sing about truth at $10,000 a show.
Right.
We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills, but the thrill we've never known is the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Freaky old lady named a Cocaine Kitty who embroiders on my jeans. I got my poor old gray-haired daddy driving my limousine.
Now it's all designed to blow our minds, but our minds won't really be blown. Like the blow that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see our pictures on the cover?
blue-eyed groupies will do anything we say. We got a genuine Indian guru. He's teaching us a better way. We got all the friends that money can buy, so we never have to be alone. And we keep getting richer, but we can't get our picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Uh-huh. Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Stone.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone? On the cover of the Rolling
Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
I'm talking to Heidi, and Heidi, of course, is CEO at Anchor Community Care, and we've been talking all about why Anchor are running a fundraising or fundraiser at the moment. And we know that when you give money to Anchor, we know it's going to go where they say it to. And we've been talking probably about the most disadvantaged people in the state. And with most of them, I've got to say, it's not their choice. A lot of them have... It's just been foisted upon them for all the sorts of reasons Heidi's been talking about. But Heidi and a crew have come up with a great idea. Tell us all about the coffee campaign, because we all love coffee.
Yes, indeed. One of the things we thought about is the Yarra Ranges and the Outer East, indeed, are really famous for their coffee shops and their love of coffee. And they make very good coffee and so forth. And we thought, well, why don't we ask cafe owners that are part of the Yarra Ranges and the Outer East, why don't we, and wherever we else we operate, and we thought, well, why not ask them if they don't mind for 2 days, which is tomorrow, Thursday the 13th and Friday the 14th of June, asking their customers when they buy their coffee if they wouldn't mind adding another $2 to the price of their coffee, and that will come to Anchor.
Heidi, can I just say something? It's even cheaper than where some of these people ask you to pay forward, because normally it's $5 or $6, isn't it, to pay for
it?
And so you're only asking for $2.
Yeah, we're asking for $2 on top of people's coffee order. And, you know, whatever coffee that is that you have, our cafe owners are going to be asking people to donate. And I really do want to give a shout out to the cafes that are involved.
Yep.
Now, we've got your local roaster at Lilydale. We've got Maria Cafe at Upway. We've got Lorna Cafe at Ferntree Gully. We've got Conservatory Cafe at Mooralbark. We've got Gracious Grace at Lilydale. We've got Yarra Valley Deli at Wandon. We've got Carriage Cafe at Seville. I think we all know the Carriage Cafe at Seville. Nancy's of the Valley at Yarra Junction. We've got Cafe 3383 at Warburton. We've got Friends on the Hill at Mombolk. We've got Posey Project at Montrose. And we've got Middleman, my personal favourite, because I get a coffee from there every single day of my life, they're at Scoresby. But excitingly, we've also got the Good Brew drive-through sale coffee, because we actually have some services at sale.
Yep.
So we've got the Good Brew drive-through sale.
Oh, I know that one. Yep.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
And the Jolly Dolly takeaway and the Alchemy Coffee of Gippsland. So thank you so much to all those cafes, and I hope lots of your listeners can get in for a coffee tomorrow and donate with the price of your coffee.
Heidi, is it too late for any other people to get involved today?
Absolutely not. If you're a cafe owner and you're keen to get involved, we have Tyrell Mills, who's out and about today and tomorrow and Friday, who can sign you up. So people need to just reach out and email info@anchor.org.au.
Info@anchor.org.au.
Yep. And if you sign up, all our cafe, these ones I've just read out, they will get some collateral and some explanation about what the fundraising campaign's all about, a bit more of Rachel's story and her children. And so, you know, you get everything that you need in order to ask your customers, in case your customers say, oh, what's all this about? So you get plenty of information and you don't need to worry. But we're calling it our Cafe Heroes program, and we're kicking off this year in 2024, but I've got a bit of a feeling that cafes might be a part of our future from now on. I think this is going to go well, and I think, you know, the cafe owners have been so excited. We had a gentleman who had his photo taken for the Star Mail. And some of your listeners may have seen him in there. So I think it's a fun thing to do for a couple of days. And, you know, I think a lot of your listeners would be sort of whizzing into their local coffee shop and hunkering in, getting a coffee because they're cold. Or, you know, I think we can all really understand, you know, how difficult it would be not to have, the comforts of home during the winter, because I think we do all tend to spend a lot of time at home during the winter. We hunker down, yeah.
And Heidi, I just think we need to sort of stress a bit. We're only talking $2, and it's only 2 days. So at the most, you'd probably be four coffees.
Yeah, over that's right. If you go for a coffee like me every day.
Yeah, so you're only talking about $8.
Yeah. And, that's right.
And we're talking about people here now. We're talking about coffee that we just spend. We're talking about people here. They can't afford a coffee. I mean,
no.
They can't even, some of them might not even have tonight's meal.
No, absolutely not. No, I think that people, there are a lot of people now with what we call food insecurity, which means that they're not quite sure where their next meal's coming from. I think with the cost of living, we know most people have cut down on their meat and their vegetables and a lot of those things. Let's face it, if you've got a couple of kids and are living in a car, I'm not quite sure what you're going to give them to eat, unless you've got a little... like a little cooker or something like that. But, you know, it just becomes, extremely difficult. So
I don't want to cut across you, Heidi, but because that's not the way I like to interview, but I just want to make a mention here and get your comment. We're talking about here young children who they're going through growth spurts, and if they don't get a proper meal... Like, what sort of effect... I'm not only talking about the mental aspect here. I'm talking about what would that do to them physically, because they need the food.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt, you know, that children that don't get enough food, perhaps don't reach the same physical milestones as their peers. I think that, we know that lots of kids have been going to school without breakfast, and we know that that has really dire effects to their concentration in the morning. So I think it certainly does affect their brain. What we know and what I know from my 40 years of working in out-of-home care and with children, that if they're not provided with sort of regular meals like they know other kids are, they feel neglected. And neglect and, those sorts of troubles, they permeate the rest of your life, because then you never feel as though you were really worth it, that you were worth it. And that is not casting any aspersions on some of the, many parents that we see. It just is the fact. Mm. But children live with this for the rest of their lives.
Mm. I've got to take a quick break. Heidi, we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
And that was John Fogarty and Rock and Roll Girl. Just a reminder, I'll be here on Sunday night between 6 and 8pm with a rock and roll hit parade. We'll be playing plenty of rock and roll music. But anyway, we're talking to Heidi. I couldn't resist that. From Anger Community Care. Heidi, you wanted to talk a little bit more about these ladies that are fleeing violence, and very, well, mostly if there's children, they take them with them. So I guess the child is the one that's really missing out. But, I mean, we just need to stress, in a lot of these instances where people are homeless, it's not that they've chosen to go out to be homeless, is it?
No, that's exactly right, Alan. I think it is really important for your listeners to understand that people don't make a choice to be homeless. It's you're not an experience anyone would relish, that's for sure. But many women escaping violence just have absolutely nowhere else to go. And you know, sometimes by the time we see them, they have tried to couch surf on, you know, on someone's couch. They have tried to sleep in their cars. They've tried a few, you know, might have tried a few things. Yep. And then they just, you know, it just all becomes too much. And then we see them.
Heidi, can I just ask you another question? And this is still on the subject, but it's somebody has been telling me, and I just want to get your version, that a lot of older women, now we're talking over 60s, all of a sudden find them homeless. Mm. There might have been a divorce. Hubby's taken most of what he could, gone off with a younger woman or whatever. It's been a husband and wife. The husband's died. The major income's gone. Is it true that quite a lot of those are finding themselves homeless too?
Absolutely. Women over about 55 are one of the fastest growing groups in Australia. Yes, absolutely. There's really, you know, very sound evidence about the why. You're right. It often is because of a divorce. And, you know, many women thought that they would be in a marriage for the rest of their lives, or they'd be, you know, somewhat supported. They've stayed home and they've looked after the children as they thought that they should do. And then they find that, you know, they reach 55, 60, 65. The relationship ends, or as you say, a partner dies. And they, you know, they actually haven't made provisions of this. They don't have the superannuation.
No, it's very small.
That men don't have, that men often do. And they haven't, many have not been prepared for the experience of only living on a very, very small income. Yep. And I think that it's fair to say that, you know, a lot of women I've spoken to too, you know, they tell me stories like, you know, oh, well, my kids said to me, you know, well, come and live with me. And you know, or, you know, and I met this one woman who was kind of living in between a couple of her adult kids, and it was really difficult. She had been, you know, she said, I just feel terrible because I've actually, you know, had my own home, I've managed my own home, I've raised my children, and here now, you know, I'm homeless, and, you know, okay, I've got a couple of adult children saying, well, come and live with me, but, you know,
it's not what they want.
No, you know, it's such a downgrade, and they feel so bad about themselves. And so, you know, and we've seen stories on the media, and I certainly heard of these stories that women, you know, these, you know, who find themselves at the end of, you know, a divorce or whatever, they buy themselves a little van and they kind of disappear. And sometimes people don't hear from them because they're so ashamed. They've come from, you know, often from middle Australia. And they've just ended up with nothing. So you're right. It is a very quickly growing group of homeless people.
That's sad,
and
isn't
you
it?
Think, and you do think to yourself, is this really Australia where, you know, these women have, you know, who are, you know, have brought up children and, you know, brought up the children that are now, you know, in banking or doing this or doing, or politicians or whatever they're doing. Yep. Is this the way that we now treat these women?
It's almost like a third world country, isn't it? This is what you'd expect in a third world country.
I think for people like, you know, these single, you know, older women, it's a travesty. They should be in their, you know, in their days where they're enjoying themselves and life is, you know, life is giving them back what all of that they've given. You know, these are the women who were the mothers of the 50s and 60s who gave everything.
Absolutely. I've got to take one more quick break, but let's wrap up when I come back, and we'll talk all about the cafe campaign and where people can get...
How they can donate. And,
absolutely.
I pretend that I'm happy, but I'm Mr. Blue. I pretend that I'm happy since I lost you.
Lou Christie and Two Faces of I. And if somebody once said to me, if you had two faces, you wouldn't be wearing that one, Alan. So, boom, boom. Anyway, we're talking to Heidi, and we want to wrap up now, and we want to just re-emphasise this coffee campaign. I think it's a brilliant idea. $2, they're not even asking you to buy another cup of coffee. You're only paying about, if you buy two coffees a day, and you give $2 each, you still haven't even covered the what you would have had with a cup of coffee. So you drop back one over 4 days and you've paid it all. I think it's great. But anyway, Heidi, convince us why we should pay the $2 and where we should get it.
So, I read out the coffee shops before. There's quite a lot of them, so I won't perhaps read them all out.
And you still can take more.
And we can still take more. And hopefully your listeners would have heard their local coffee shop or one that they know of when I read them out before. But, yeah, so we are running this campaign through cafes, which we really believe are a really important part of local communities. They are where people meet. They are where people come to get warm. They are, you know, where people come to socialise, have meetings, you know, lots of meetings in coffee shops occur. And so they really are quite a central place in a community. And, you know, I think your listeners would really realise that, you know, if they're living in a small little village or little local town, that their coffee shop, you know, the cafe is really a central part to that. So we thought, well, why don't we sort of ask them that you know, to trade, I guess, on people's love of coffee. And as they're coming in either tomorrow or Friday, so the campaign's running 2 days, that if they they'll be asked if they would mind upping their coffee order another $2, and that $2 comes straight to Anchor and comes into our, what I call our fighting fund, which allows us to, you know, help people very quickly, to buy things for kids, you know, bedding or, you know, something for school or whatever that might be. But, you know, it allows us to do quick things and allows us to perhaps, you know, give people food vouchers, all sorts of things it allows us to do. So it's pretty important. If people are not going to the cafes, they can also donate till the end of June. And those donations of any, you know, ilk, any size, can be made by visiting anchor.org.au, and you'll see Rachel's story on the front page of our website at the moment, and it's very easy to donate, and look, anything is absolutely greatly appreciated.
And the any of the cafes that want to get involved, how do they do that, Liz?
Yes, they can email us at info@anchor.org.au, and Tyrell Mills is out and about today visiting the visiting coffee shops and so forth, and he'll be picking up those emails on his phone. So, you know, if you want to get involved, we'd love you to be involved. It's not hard. It's just going for a couple of days, and you'll be given all the clutter on the story if your customers want to ask you more.
And I guess the other issue is too, which you just briefly crossed over, is that it's only 2 days. You're not asking people to donate month or anything like that. It took two days.
Just 2 days. And as I say, it's really, very simple, very easy. It doesn't go on for a long time. But it just really, you know, we hope that it will highlight to those, to cafes being part of the community, and to the people that come in and buy their coffees, that actually this is helping people who are very disadvantaged in their community.
And it's hard to believe it, but that $2, each of those $2 is going to do something for somebody that desperately needs it, aren't they?
It really is, Alan. It really is. Yep.
Heidi, look, unfortunately, as we were talking before, the time, the hour goes extremely quickly.
Yep.
It's nearly time for us to go. But, look, thank you for your time again. I hope it's a real success.
Thank you, Alan. And thanks to your listeners. And, thanks to your listeners. And make a donation at anchor.org.au.
I guess that's the other issue too, doesn't it? Just very briefly, that if your coffee shop isn't involved, there's nothing wrong with you sending a donation straight to Anchor. And what was that again, please? Right.
Yep.
What was
anchor.org.au.
So if your coffee shop's not involved, no reason why you can't throw $10 or something that way to Anchor.
Yep, absolutely.
Heidi, been terrific having you on again.
Thank you, Alan. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll see each other in...
Well, I think we talk to you again before the year's out, that's for sure.
Yes, I think we will.
Thanks, Heidi.
See you later.
Bye.